The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
All right, grab your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, because we are spending the summer in the Psalms. By the way, we down in Brazil came up with something that I think you guys should know. If you have an actual Bible, and by the way, this is law now, so if you have an actual Bible, this is a broadsword, right? This is a broadsword. It's your sword. And then if you have any kind of electronic device, that is now a lightsaber. And so that's going to stick from here on forward. That's what I'm going to call. So take out your broadswords and your lightsabers. Turn to Psalm chapter 19. We're going to camp out in one verse today. One verse. And I got lots written on one verse. Yeah, I know. Because we're spending the summer in the Psalms. We're jumping around all over Psalms. I want to get a big overview of what the Psalms look like, because Psalms are so deep. They're so deep. There's so much that are said in the Psalms. They're songs written to people. If you go to certain churches, that's all they sing are the songs, the Psalms. And so it's interesting because the Psalms do so many different things. They tell you the bipolar nature of David. If you ever read them, you'll know where David will be like, "I love you, Jesus, break all their teeth." Like it's kind of the mix of both of them, right? And then you also see some songs that are like, "God, you're amazing." And then you have other ones like, "God, where are you?" And you kind of feel the whole gamut of them. You have the songs of Aaliyah where they sing them as they rise to worship and they go, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." These ideas of going into the house and worshiping God. You have the Psalm 23, which we all know, "The Lord is my shepherd," right? But we have the one that Jesus even yelled from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Over and over, the Psalms are quoted and recited and repeated over and over throughout the Gospels, and I just don't think we're familiar with them. I really don't. And I think you should take time to become familiar with them, because they're a beautiful subject. And so this one is going to talk about something that I think is absolutely amazing, which is the glory of who God is. There was a night I was leaving after we had Rooted Midweek, and it was dark 30 because college students don't know how to leave any time before midnight. And so I'm locking up, and I do my regular thing where I'm coming out the back door here. And it was just for a quick second, it was quiet, right? There's nobody going up and down the hill for no obvious reason. There's no band down there. There's nobody having a party. I wasn't getting a contact high off the weed being smoked. Like, I was just able to relax for a moment, right? And then I turn around the corner, and I saw right in the front yard here just a bunch of deer. Now, if you know me, my favorite pastime when I find deer close to me is to chase them. I've never caught them, but I try every time. So I'm just waiting, and I'm chilling, and I'm just enjoying it. And so I run all the way over till we get to the hillside. I know not to go down the hill. That's when I'm going to fall. I don't want to do that. I'm not at the age where I can do that anymore. And I get to the hill, and I stop, and I just kind of relaxed for a second, trying to catch my breath. And I'm relaxing, and you look up, and I could actually see the stars. All the stars, they're all out, right? And I could hear my breath in my ears as I'm trying to suck it in, like, and I could see the deer down there eating, and it was just kind of a cool moment where the moon's out and the stars are out, and I'm dying, and everything is just there. And, like, you know, I felt like there's like a gentle breeze that came over me. It was there's a multitude of birds chirping. Like, I don't know, it was just a nice night. You know, it was one of those moments you can kind of stop and have perspective. And as I was listening to all this and kind of enjoying this entire scene, here's what I did. I just looked up, I've done this for years now. I look up, and I always go, "Yeah, no God. No God." My wife and I have done this for almost 20 years. When you look up in the sky, and you look at these beautiful constellations of stars that are flung out into the universe, right? And you look at the moon that purposely goes around and controls the tides and the ebbs and flows of so many things on our earth. And we just look at all of it and just go, no God. Just millions and millions of years of happenstance all came together. And I just thank him. Like, how beautiful is it all that you put it together for me to enjoy that moment? How beautiful is it that you have this kind of imagination and creative power How beautiful that these little intimate details that I'm seeing around me, maybe even for the first time, are just exposed. Like, how amazing is this? And I find myself on a regular basis just appreciating God. Just stopping for a second to... You ever done that? Yeah, you ever do that sometimes? Like, I have a trampoline in my backyard, and sometimes I kick my kids out on the trampoline, and they always think I'm, like, being mean, but then they think I'm forgetting them when it gets dark. But I just want them to lay there and look at the sky and enjoy God. Just enjoy the cosmos. I mean, God designed creation to do just what it did to me that night, to inspire, to cause awe, to stir wonder within your soul. God designed creation in such a way to point us to a greater wonder. It points you all to a wise creator. That's why every society ever designed on God's green earth has always pointed to something higher than themselves. There's a reason for that. And there's a thought I'd love for you to take this morning. I really love you to preach it. Here it is. How often do you appreciate God? How often do you appreciate God? Like, we get so used to reading the Bible every day, right? Or listening to Christian music, or, you know, I got my little playlist, or I listen to these podcasts, but, like, you know, I pay my tithes, I come to church, which are all true, all necessary, all good. But, like Jesus said to Mary, how often do we choose that good part to spend time appreciating God? Like, just, wow, thank you. I had this student that lived with me a few years ago. And I never forget, because I realized things about myself and him being with me that I didn't know about myself. So my wife would cook dinner, and he'd be downstairs. We had a little basement apartment for him. We'd be downstairs, and we'd cook dinner. And dinner, if you know my wife, she can cook. So it smelled amazing. You can smell it throughout the whole house. You know, dinners like that, and you can just smell it. And I call him, like, hey, man, we're about to have dinner. Why don't you come upstairs? And all of a sudden I hear on my door, and I was like, well, what the heck's going on? So I go to my front door. Lo and behold, at my front door, you know what's at my front door? Domino's Pizza. The driver from Domino's Pizza is at my front door, and he goes, I have an order. And I go, yeah, not my house. Nope, obviously. Can you smell it? Obviously, none of this right here is for me. Must be the other, because there's another house down the street that's 1016. We have the same address, but it's one's Court, one's Boulevard. It gets mixed up all the time. Amazon can't figure it out, right? So obviously it's them, right? And he shows me the receipt, and sure enough, it's my house. To which the college student who's lived with me comes upstairs and goes, oh, yeah, I ordered that. And I looked at him and said, huh? Like, help me understand what just happened, because I'm smelling amazing food. The dinner table's set. My kids are ready to go. We're about to call you upstairs, and you ordered Domino's Pizza to come to my house. I don't get it. I don't understand that. And so after we had to come to Jesus and had dinner and talked and that whole thing, I remember after a couple days later, I was just thinking about it, frustrated, and I called my dad, and I said, hey, Dad, if I ever was that rude to you, I'm so sorry. Like, I appreciate you not killing me on the spot. Because I wanted to hurt him, but, like, he's not my son, so I couldn't do that. But, like, I really wanted to hurt him, because I was thinking, like, the rudeness that My wife has created this beautiful meal for you. You ordered takeout. Takeout. And it's funny, because my dad's response was, you were, I still love you. Apparently I did the same kind of crap to him. I did the exact same type of stuff. But what's interesting is I never really took time until it happened to me to appreciate all he's done for me. I never took the time to appreciate that my dad loved me in those moments. My mom loved me in those moments. And it's funny, because that night and nights like that weren't by any means earth-shattering. They didn't change my world. I didn't flip over. It certainly was an occasion where I found myself giving thanks. I just found myself giving thanks, because God has been good, and his goodness and mercy is over me. We need to remember, listen, you need to remember, the primary reason for our creation is that we might enjoy God and give him praise. The primary reason for every tree that's out there, not just for your oxygen, I mean, it's good, you would suffocate without them. It's not just for houses for birds, that's great too. It is for you to enjoy God's creation and to give him praise. He's worthy of it. Every time you see it, he's worthy of it. Raise your hand if you've gone to the ocean before. Anybody been in the ocean? Okay, a lot of you guys have been in the ocean. You ever been in the ocean? You ever seen somebody brag about their degrees at the ocean? You ever seen somebody go, I got a PhD at the ocean on a pier? If they did, we'd all look at them and go, you're an idiot, right? The ocean is a humbling experience. Why? It's huge, and you are small. Yet God designed it for you to praise him. He designed that whole experience for you to look at him and go, my God, how amazing are you? I love, because I had to like drag my kids off the shore because they brought 57,000 seashells back from Los Angeles last year. As they picked every one, I can't even say it three times fast. You know, and they picked them up over and over and over. But why? Because everyone is unique. Everyone is beautiful. Everyone was different. And they're like, look at this one. Look at this one. Look at this one. I'm like, I've seen them all. I hadn't, but just chill, right? Judah literally came back with like a Ziploc bag full of them. And he still, sometimes he'll like bring them downstairs and just like dump them out on my carpet and be like, look, look, look. Why? It's all to bring God praise and glory. That's what it's about. It's about appreciating God. It all goes back to loving God and bringing glory to God. And that's what I want to talk to you today about appreciating God and who he is. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read one verse. You don't even have to stand. I'm just going to read one verse. Psalm 19, verse 1. We got a lot more coming, but I just want to camp out on this one today. It says this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. If you were to write anything down today, if you were to take anything away from what I say today, it's this. This is one question I want you to ponder. Do you ever really take time to do nothing more than just appreciate God? Do you ever take time to do nothing more than just appreciate God? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that we get to appreciate you, love you, and see your creation for all that it is. Father, we are humbled. Humbled day in and day out as we look around. Humbled at the creation that you've given us, things that make no sense that you put in front of us, so that they all point back to you. Jesus, I ask. I ask this morning that we are reflective of that, that we take time this week and the rest of our lives to appreciate, love, and bring glory and honor to you. And Father, I ask the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. And if anything of me is not of you, Father, make it diminish and make yourself grow and increase. For your glory and our joy, we pray. Amen. So if you want to write a couple notes down, here's the first thing I want to give you. It's a fun one. I got 3 points for you. I want you to write down is this. Number one, when creation just can't shut up. I think it's hilarious. The more you look at creation, it can't shut up about how cool God is. Like, you ever heard a bumblebee fly by you? It'll make you want to scream. It'll make you look crazy because, one, most people can't see the bumblebee, so you're just swinging at this imaginary thing. You look like a mad person. It's hilarious, right? But when you think about creation itself, it declares the glory of God. Things like the bumblebee make no sense because aerodynamically, they should not be able to fly. They have no ability to fly, yet they buzz your head constantly. That's what they do. You see, the truth is that when you look at creation, even little things like that, it can't keep quiet about God. Even if it wants to, it points back to God. It points back and says, look, this makes no sense, but look at me. Everything you see points to the glory of God. Everything you look at, it points back to it. And it displays his brilliance in ways that you've never thought it would. There's this place called Victoria Falls. And if you ever go to Victoria Falls, it is one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see on earth. The falls are everywhere, and it's breathtaking, the loudness and the thunderous of the water coming down, the gallons upon gallons of water hitting the ground, the rainbows that are being produced out of it, the wildlife all around it. And what's happening before your eyes is exactly what the Bible says is happening on an ongoing basis. Creation itself is declaring the wonder of God in creation. It's saying, look at me. Look at God. Now look at me. I'm showing you who God is. It's one of those sights that you just can't help but being impressed with. It's like the first time when you're driving through Kansas, which, by the way, is the longest and one of the most boring drives of your life, and then you get to eastern Colorado and you're like, I've made it. Psych, you haven't. You still got another hour of nothing. It's nothing. It's flat. And then all of a sudden, off in the distance, God gives you just a taste of hope, right? In the distance, you see a white mountain peak. And as you get higher and higher, you go home. Oh, my goodness. Oh, look at that. Look at that. And it's one of those sights, as you get closer, you can't help with being impressed with. But what messes me up is sometimes I get to my friends in Denver, and I'm talking to them, and I'm like, hey, you ever looked how beautiful it is up here? And they're like, And you're like, But what happens is you get so immersed in it, you forget what's around you. You forget the beauty of what's around you. And it takes some knucklehead like me that comes from flat places like Kansas to go, you got mountains. Look at that. It's got snow. It's amazing. And they're just like, it's kind of cool. I mean, we do the same thing here at fall. We're like, it's going to last like a day and a half, fall off the trees. People from California is like, but do you have trees? And they change colors. And they're every color for a day. Like, you know what I mean? And they're taking pictures. And we're like, why are you taking pictures? And they're like, we're taking all the pictures, right? Because they've never seen anything like that. And then we get out to California. We're like, how cool is this? Look at the ocean. They're like, it's a beach. It's the ocean. It's a beach. I'm landlocked. I don't have ocean, right? We have dirty water called a lake. You have an ocean, right? It's amazing. But right before our eyes, what happens is we miss on an ongoing basis what God is trying to show us. Creation itself is declaring the beauty and wonder of who God is. Creation is doing its job here. It's advertising. It's advertising to the world. This is God. It's saying, hey, here we are. There's a God that created all of this. On the way to Brazil, you have this. Some of you guys will go with me. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get on a flight in Dallas, Texas at 7:30 at night. And then you're going to get on the flight, and they're going to feed you, and you're going to eat. And then they're going to do the most unsubtle hint you've ever had in your life. They're going to shut the lights out. They just boop, boop, and all the lights go black, right? And now, if you have headphones, you can watch a movie. They have all kinds of movies on there. But I looked at all our people, and I said, I recommend you get sleep. As a matter of fact, I was a little bit of a drug dealer. I was, like, passing out melatonin to everybody. I'm like, here, take these. And some of them did, and some of them didn't. But please get some sleep. Because you're going to land in São Paulo, and your body is going to say it's 5:30 in the morning. It's 7:30 in the morning there. So you're sleeping. They wake you up. They feed you a little Brazilian breakfast. And then they kick you off the plane, and then you got to go through customs, half awake. It's great. But when you wake up in the morning, when they turn the lights back on and kind of get you up, and you look out the window, one of the most beautiful sights you've ever seen in your life is there. The sun is rising, but yet you're 30,000 feet up in the air. And the colors are brilliant. And you see the sun coming over the horizon in a way you've never seen it. I've seen it four times now, and it's amazing. Every single time, I'm just like, I've never seen colors like this. And once again, I think it's God going, hey, I made this for you to enjoy. I made this for you to enjoy. Matter of fact, the pilot this time on the way back to Dallas actually did this. I thought it was so cool. Our pilot deviated just a little bit. He said, boom. And I never understood why pilots had to put the microphone in their mouth. Like, that's, I don't know. Like, I don't understand that. But like, so he's every time, I'm like, take it out of your mouth, right? And so we're going, he goes, I'm turning a little bit. He literally said he's turning a little bit so you can see it better. How cool is that? And we just looked out the window, and I'm like, I'm in the middle area, so I'm like at the guy on the side. I'm like, open your window. And he like slides them, like, open all the way. Like, and I don't know if he knows me. I don't care. I'm just like, open, you know, doing sign language, everything. But he turns it up, and he opens it up, and I'm able to see these reds and purples and all these colors that I don't usually see with a sunrise. And it's just God showing off his glory, his creation showing off for him. And it shows over and over and over. When you are there, when you're standing on the shore of an island, and the ocean is like a sheet of glass, and the ocean itself is filled with brilliant colors from all of the sea life, and the sun is setting over the ocean, and all, you see this magnificent backdrop of color that fills the evening sky. And when you see it all, When you see the coconut trees in the background, you hear the monkeys above you, and you're just sitting there going, this is a stinking postcard right now. And you can take all the photos you want to try to grasp the moment, but I want you to grasp it here and here because God is trying to show you his glory. He's showing you his creation. He put the whole scene together. He wants you to soak it up. My youngest daughter says it this way when she sees a beautiful sunset. She goes, God's showing off again. I guess we'll never see that one again. And then she just stares at it. I love it. You see, you don't just have to travel to see it. The Bible speaks to it. Romans 1 and 20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, his eternal power in the Godhead, so that we are without excuse." We're driving through some of the most beautiful rainforest on earth. Don't be surprised when you see something that makes you go, "Oh my goodness." God doesn't create dull. He creates beauty. So many times in life, it feels like a trivial pursuit when you're looking around. But creation is yelling, "Hey, I'm right here. I need your attention." Matthew 13 and 15 says this, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears." You see, the truth of God is everywhere. And so many times we forget the beauty of what God is doing right in front of you. I don't mean he's in everything. That's an ancient heathen religion, so I'm not doing that. I'm not going that far, no. But God, he's a part of creation. He created it for you to see. Stop and enjoy it. Just if you have a second, stop and enjoy it. He's everywhere. He wants you to drink him in. He wants you to see him in creation. Here's the incredible anomaly. Creation can't shut up about God. It will not shut up. It just can't shut up about God. It just can't keep quiet about its maker. So look at the text again. Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." I like the way the Message put it that way. I don't know how you guys feel with the Message. Don't really care. I'm going to put it out there anyway. It says this, "God's glory is on tour in the skies. God craft on exhibit across the horizon." Verse 2, I love this. "Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures every evening." I really like that. You see, when you follow the psalm to the next several verses, they all point towards the majesty of God, the creator of all things. Yet here, this astounding anomaly, the masterpiece of God's work, doesn't speak. You and I, the masterpiece of what God created, we go, "I don't know if I can tell people about God." Jesus even said, "If you guys didn't praise me, the rocks would cry out." Heaven, like, have you ever been around like a young boy, like toddler up to like 10 years old? You ever wonder why they bring you every rock on earth? I have two little boys, and they just bring me rocks. I have rocks all over. I had so many rocks one time that I was cutting the grass and fired one through my wife's back window. Like, there are rocks everywhere in my house. They just bring me rocks. "Daddy, this one's a geo. This one has sparkles inside. This one has a vein on the side. This one looks like an egg. This one is an egg." Like, there's so many different ones that they bring me. They just bring me rocks. I'm like, "Why? I don't want rocks. Why?" Because they are so cool to them, right? And they love them. And when you look at this, they're seeing God's creation in every little thing. And sometimes I can't tell the difference between them. Like, "That one's gray, that one's gray. That one's got a point, that one's got a point. I don't get it." They're like, "No, you understand. That one's got a gray point, that one's got a red point." You're like, "Okay." What are they doing? They're understanding the awe of who God is. And the tragedy is so many times we don't. We get so stuck in our work, we get so stuck on our phones, we get so stuck on everything else in the world that we forget who it is. Think about this, church. It's time that we come together and get out of the routine and just sit down and go, "Hey, how do we love God?" That we take time and we pause out of our busy lives to reflect and adore and pour out time. Maybe this summer, you just take a day and just go walk in the woods and enjoy God. The truth is that we are churches around the world are full of disinterested and bored people doing little more than just fulfilling their duty. And what a tragic place to come to. What a tragic place. Romans 1:21 says this, "Because of this, although they knew God, they did not glorify God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts and foolish, and their foolish hearts were darkened." What a frightening place to come to. I never want to get there. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I want you to write down the reflection of God. The reflection of God. You see, the creation is a dull mirror of the real glory of God. I'm going to say that again because maybe some of y'all missed it. Creation is a dull mirror of the beauty of God, the glory of God. Like, you ever had a nasty mirror, like in your dorm room or in your house? Maybe you don't want to admit that in public, but maybe you should go home and Windex. Windex, wipe it down, okay? It'll clean it off. It's really nice, okay? And Windex, don't use like 409 or something, okay? So you go and you clean your mirrors, right? And it looks a lot better. And it's funny because, like, in my kids' bathroom, sometimes I have them clean the bathroom at least once a week. But then sometimes I go in behind them to help them out because they miss very obvious things that are on the ground. You know, I'll go in there, I'm like, why is your underwear still there? You know, like, it just, well, I don't understand. It makes no sense. And sometimes I go in and I go, hey, let's clean your mirror, because I don't know what my kids do. I don't know if they, like, take water and launch it at the mirror and then, like, take soap and spray it over and go, good, and then leave. Like, I don't understand what they do, but there's just a film over their mirrors. And so the other day, I went in and I sprayed it with Windex and I scrubbed it and I sprayed it with Windex again and I scrubbed it. And then I heard this from my oldest daughter. Wow. What, baby? What do you mean, wow? Oh, it just looks a lot better. What looks better? Well, I guess me. Baby, what do you mean, me? Well, I'm looking in the mirror, and it just looks better. Now, what she hadn't put two and two together is I cleaned it, because they missed it, you know? And so she could see herself, right? All this time, she'd be looking in a dull mirror, just looking at herself like, oh, I guess okay. And come down looking like a ragamuffin. And so when I cleaned it, she was like, oh, that's what I look like, right? You could see yourself. And I just want you to think, like, if this is creation, and creation is a dull mirror, what does it look like when it gets cleaned when we get to heaven? What does it look like when you're actually in front of God? What does it look like when all of that gunk and soap and film and crud is actually out of the way and you see God face to face? Wow! Will probably be the least of your explanations when you see him. How amazing will it be when you see that reflection? You see, sin is what gunks up our mirror. It's not just soap and water, but it's sin. And it's done a terrible work on creation, and it's marred it so significantly that the original work of glory that once was almost got marred completely through sin. That's the beauty of who Jesus is. Revelations 21:1 says this, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away. So what very best of creation is a dull reflection of what God created it. And then God says, hey, I'm going to wipe it all away and make something even better in the end. I'm going to get down to the brass tacks. So if this is a dull reflection, how glorious must God be? Like, do you ever ponder that? Do you ever sit back and really ponder how glorious must God actually be if this is dull? If this is really? There's some amazing things out here, and this is mid compared to God, right? That's the beautiful part about it. How would you respond to the glorious presence of our Creator in the universe? You see, that heaven, among other spiritual beings, is populated by men and women just like us, except for the fact that they're now glorified. We now get to see ourselves perfectly. Revelation 4:8-11 says this, four living creatures, each having six wings, full of eyes within and around. Again, freakiest things ever. Be not afraid. Right. And they do not rest day or night, singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is, was, and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him, he sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders all fall down before him. He who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever, and cast the crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and are created. Think about that. Think about that. The natural response of all these creatures is to praise God. That's the natural response. And not just to praise him and go, hey, God, I thank you. But like to continuously, out of every breath they have, their very existence is to praise God. Everything. And to get the picture here, 24 elders, every time there's another chorus of praise, the living creatures fall down again. Not just once. We hit the bridge again. Dan hits the bridge again. They fall back down. You just start getting up on your feet. Bridge comes again. They hit the ground again. Why? Why is that? They're so overcome with their appreciation for God, they can't help but to worship him. Can you say that about your life? Even in this dull reflection that you are so overcome with joy for who God is that you can't help but worship him. You see, worship overtakes every single scene when he arrives. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 5, you see where Isaiah is sitting in the throne room and worship overcomes him. Have you ever come to a point that you can't help but worship? I was in Perizzopolis, and they start singing songs, and I have videos that apparently I cannot sing to because I'm like singing in the background trying to sing in Portuguese. I don't know Portuguese. If you don't get the memo, I don't know Portuguese. And so I'm like trying to get the words and sing with them. Why? Because I'm in a room with other believers who are singing and praising God. And I just want to praise with them. I know they're singing about Jesus. I know they're singing something about Jesus. I just want to sing with them. So you'll hear me like, Jesus. Like, I mean, that's about what I could do, right? I didn't know the words. I didn't, Jesus. Right? Like, that's all I could really do, right? But you ever been to a point that you just want to worship? You just have to worship? That nothing in you can stop. You can't just... I see too many of that, where we just, thank God. I mean, for real, that was a thank you? Because I don't know if that's a thank you in my house, right? When's the last time you've just fallen on your knees out of praise for who God is in your life? When have you appreciated him so much for what he's done for you? What happens when you come into God's presence? You see, what happens is when Isaiah comes in his presence, he sees them and it gives him perspective. Whoa! I'm a man of unholy lips to come from a people of unholy lips. I don't speak right before you. I'm no longer a holy man of God. I'm not a pastor or a prophet. I'm nobody before you. And then you realize your sinful flesh is before you. You realize what's on you, and you go, God, I'm not worthy, but you are. Imagine that. Imagine being at the point that you realize that you're not worthy, but he is, and you praise him from that. You see, Isaiah was suddenly transported to the presence of God in heaven. And it caused him to see who he really is in the light of the holy God. We are given just a hint of how glorious God can be when we read about Moses. Just a hint, just a taste. And the Bible tells us that he catches a glimpse of the backside of God's robe. He saw God's back. Not even like his earlobe. He saw his back. And what did he do? Exodus 34 and 30 says this. So when Aaron and all the children saw Moses, behold, the skin and face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. We get the point here. All Moses saw was God's back. And he looked like he'd been eating a bunch of Energizer batteries, right? Like he was just lit up. He was shining. Well, just imagine. The back of somebody's presence gives you that much. What's it going to be when we get into his actual presence? When you see his face? Oh, how beautiful that's going to be. Last thing I want to write down, if you're going to write anything down, this is appreciate God. Appreciating God. Here's a question for you. When is the last time you appreciated God? When is the last time you took some time to appreciate God? When's the last time you just looked up and said, yo, you created all this? When's the last time that you've spent just the time to take in the beautiful breath that he's given you? And enjoy the creation of your body. When's the last time that you do that? Have you ever done it? You see, some come to church not out of a sense of obligation / responsibility, but simply because when is the last time you came to church simply because you wanted to express your appreciation to God? How often do you pause from a busy schedule and demands that are constantly drawing your attention, that are constantly saying, hey, gimme, 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 to love and appreciate him? You see, our text says this, Psalm 119:1, says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And we know that if all the creation continues to do this to this day, day after day, the question is, how often do you take time? Do you? Creation's going to do it. It's going to continue to do it. What about you? We fill our lives with all these insignificant and trivial things. We filled our life with the daily ground of making it work. And I'm not saying, like, punt on it, go off into the desert and become a monk. Not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying, do you take time intentionally to do jack and squat? to rest, to see who God is. The real concern that I have is that we forget and we allowed ourselves to get crowded out. That we allow everything to crowd us out. And the danger that each of us faces as believers is that we become the modern day Martha. Now we're working and working and working and working, and we don't stop to be at the feet of Jesus just to be with him. Just to see his presence. Just to go, hey Jesus, how you doing today, dude? Like, what's going on? How do I serve you and just enjoy your presence? Think about it. Jesus came to Martha's house. She was too busy cooking and cleaning and taking care of lunch and dishes and all this other stuff to experience the God of the universe at her house. Maybe God has come into your place, in your presence, been with you, but you've been too busy with everything else, with school, with work, with social life, with social media, everything else, to just stop and appreciate and love him for who he is. Do you ever really take time to do nothing more than appreciate God? Do you ever? One of the places I got to go with my family a few years ago was Yellowstone National Park. I honestly think God was just jacking around up there. Like, I think, I don't know if you've ever been to Yellowstone, anybody? Ever been to Yellowstone? Okay. So if you know Yellowstone, you can see a meadow full of flowers with a bear in it. At the same time, you can see a covered mountain, and then behind you is a geyser that's about to explode in volcanic rock right next to you. It's all in one purview, and it's really, I feel like God was just jacking with us at this point. Like, you know, he was just like, look at this. You know, the Grand Canyon is another place where I think, like, he just took his finger and just dragged it. That, again, this is what my mind does. Like, he's just like, look at this. Right? And they're like, millions of years. He's like, it was my middle finger. Like, you know, like, but you just, when you look at it, you just appreciate what he's done. You just look at it and go, yo. We were driving in Colorado, and this is one of the times where I almost pay stupid tax. I'm on I-70, and we're driving by, and there's a goat. And these goats are made mountain goats. They're just chilling on the side of the hill. And I don't know what God put on their feet, like if he put, like, special sticky tape or something. Because, like, these things are just like this, and they're just chilling, just, right? They're just on the side, just chilling up there. And I was so enamored as I was driving by. I, like, tried to stop. And then my wife's like, you're on I-70. Please keep driving. And I'm like, okay. You know, like, I'm going to get hit. But I'm just like, yo, how amazing. And I love having children because I can always point to them. And they're always like, Daddy, look at this. And they're always going to kind of bring my awe back to it. Just to go, wow. How amazing is that? How amazing are these animals and these trees and this world and these planets and the cosmos that we live in? How amazing is this? How often do you take time to just declare the glory of God? How often do you just take time to enjoy? Like, here, the next time you cut yourself or you get cut, just imagine this. When you cut yourself, there's this thing called the Christmas effect where all the red blood cells will run in, the hemoglobin will come in, and then they will literally transform. Your cells will transform from regular cells to these elastic cells where your body creates its own Band-Aid. How stinking amazing is that? So you don't just bleed out, which, I mean, yay God, no bleeding out. That's great. I appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Like, so next time you get cut, just like, just look at that and go, God, you're amazing. It's even in those things where you should go, wow, how God, how great are you? You see, genuine appreciation results in praise and worship and thanksgiving. When people genuinely appreciate God, they can't keep quiet about him. They just can't help but be quiet about him. You see, the title of the psalm says that it was written by David, although there's some dispute on whether or not he wrote it or not, but it says it was. But one thing we know about David is he spent his time writing all kinds of psalms, which were an outpouring of his love and appreciation for God. I'll give you a few. Psalm 22, he says this, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of assembly, I will praise you. Psalm 145, verse 6, he says, men shall speak of your might and your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. 145, verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall praise your mighty acts. 26 verse 7, he says, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and I will tell of your wondrous works. 95 verse 2 says, let us come before your presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And that flows out of these Psalms, this heart of a writer with deep appreciation for God. And as you consider everything that God has created for you, everything that God has done for you, you should want to shout and tell people about it. What flows out of you? What flows out of you? I told you I'd tell you a story about São Paulo, so let me tell you this. If you know anything about anywhere else on earth outside of the States, football or futebol is what they call it in there. Soccer is extremely popular. It is the greatest sport on earth. If you don't believe me, repent. And so they, in every favela, no matter where you are, no matter how poor it is, whatever, there is a soccer pitch. Every single one. Something that shows values and where they believe. And it is one of the most sacred places that you can go. So on Saturday, the pastor decided we're doing evangelism. And the pastor was telling us about the soccer pitch. He took us out to the soccer pitch. And we're standing on the sideline, and he was telling me about the whole thing. And he goes, you know, and he grabs me, he goes, you know, this is why I come back here. I said, no idea, besides it's the soccer pitch, you know. He goes, this is where I gave my life to Christ. Really? On the soccer pitch? He goes, yeah, I used to play out here all the time. I used to bet on my games, and you know, you can imagine all the stuff that went on with that. But he goes, a white guy comes out here one day, and he brings a film, and he brings up a projector, and he couldn't get it all to work. His battery had run out, and he didn't have any power. And so Pastor Enrique went and set it up for him, set up the Jesus film for him in the middle of the soccer pitch. And then he told him to go invite his friends, and he invited his friends, and they sat in the stands, and they watched the Jesus film, and he got saved that night. That's where he got saved, on that pitch. I found it funny that God made him set up the projector of the movie that he's going to watch that's going to save him. But, you know, whatever. He set it up, and he got saved that night. And he goes, I come back here every Saturday, and they all know what I'm going to do. And it's funny, because as we started walking onto the pitch, all the players are like, all right, here we go, pastor's here. Like, they just started, like, backing off, right? Immediately. And he started telling them about the goodness of God in his life. And then he pointed to me and goes, I love Jesus so much, and Jesus loves you so much. He sent an American down here, and he pointed to me. I was like, hey, I'm an American. And he goes, and the American has something for you to say, or something to say to you. And I was like, I do? And he goes, you do? I said, okay. And I spoke to them. But the goodness of who God is, about the graciousness and mercy of who God is, about the glory of who God is, and the fact that everywhere you look, God is showing off his glory and trying to get your attention. I want you to be a people that have deep appreciation for God. I want it to be seen in your words, in your actions, in your experience as you walk around. Like Pastor Enrique showed me, that everywhere you go, it should come out of you, should pour through your very veins. Because when it does, those around you will begin to reflect it back also. So let me ask one more time. Do you ever really take time to do nothing more than just appreciate God? If not, today's your call to start. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that the heavens declare your glory and that they will not be quiet about it. Father God, I just ask. I ask right now for each and every one of us in this room that we come to a place that we can't keep quiet about your glory, that we can't keep quiet about your majesty in our life. Father, I thank you because you have been so gracious to us. You have given us the opportunity to love you, to follow you, to humbly submit to you. And so God, right now, being a person of unclean lips, from a people unclean lips, looking at your creation through a dull mirror, not seeing it clearly, knowing that one day we will come face to face with you, I ask, I beg you, that you give me the words and the utterance and the time to praise your name. Jesus, for everyone in this room, help us to slow down and see you, even if it means we have to chase a deer to do it first, so that we can bring you glory and honor and praise. And we do this all for you and you alone. In your precious name we pray, and all God's saints will say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.